Here is the text that will be the basis for Justin's message here to us this morning. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really is for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
How blessed are we to have leaders that were able to guide us in our worship already this morning. These young men did a great job. Would y'all do me a favor? Would you turn to the person to your left and the person to your right and just tell them good morning and that you're glad that they are here? Good morning, guys. Turn my slide on. I'll give it to you afterwards. Oh, we all got quiet because I'm coming back up, huh? I think I turned my slide on. I was going to get over here and say good morning to y'all, so good morning. And good morning to everybody. It's a blessing to be worshiping with you today. This morning, we're talking about systems. A system is a set of processes or procedures for obtaining an objective. All of us have actually engaged in a system already this morning, the system of communication. And we did that for a couple of reasons, to achieve a couple objectives. One, so that y'all would get to know each other a little bit better. Two, that we would tear down any wall of separation that existed between you and me. And three, that I would eliminate any nervousness out of my system. Some of you have probably seen this face. A lot of you, maybe most of you, have done this, or maybe even some of you are currently doing this. Anybody currently doing this or have done it before? Okay. Anybody seen this guy's face around town? This is a system of financial peace. There's two things before we move forward that we need to know about a system. When it comes to systems and people, you have trust and obedience. You have to trust that the system is going to be able to accomplish what it is you desire, and then you actually have to do something. You have to do the process or procedure that the system is telling you to do. So when it comes to a system of financial peace, you trust that this system is able to get you out of debt. You then demonstrate that trust by forking over $129.99. Is that right, Jason? Is that... If you are familiar with this system, then you have heard this phrase. Ish is a wish. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means when you buy into a system, say, for instance, the system of financial peace, you're not going to do financial peace-ish. No, you're going to observe the procedures and processes that Dave Ramsey and his team have put together to get out of debt. You can't do financial peace-ish. Some of y'all will be able to fill this in for me. Finish this statement. The only reason I finished was... Anybody?
I began.
Anybody? All right, I'll help y'all out. It's really easy. I didn't quit. I know, it's really easy now that we see the full picture. This is what's known as a truism. You're going to find this in systems. Basically, it's a obviously true statement that doesn't give us any new information or insight. This is true. And when it applies to the system of financial peace, this is saying if you finish or if you don't quit following these procedures and processes of getting out of debt, then you will finish and you will accomplish what you set out to achieve, which is to get out of debt. All right, this might be a little bit more familiar for everybody. AA, 12-step program. This is a system of recovery, okay? Now, AA claims that their success rate is 50% and then states that another 25% remain sober after some relapses. The New York Times, they said that was right, that AA claims that 75% of their participants stay sober. Now, substance addiction counselors and specialists would say that that number might be more like 8 to 12%. But regardless, finish this statement. It works. Yeah, I knew we'd get a feel on that one. This is a truism. The system of recovery works if you work it. That is, if you work those 12 steps, those procedures and processes have been put in place by several people and actually came straight out of this, well, that's a story from a different time, then the result will be recovery. It works if you work it. Now, how many of you would be a self-proclaimed nerd in the room this morning? Anybody? Yeah, nerds making a comeback. That's right. How about type A's? Any type A's? I'm going to put my hand down because I'm not. Yeah, we don't usually get as many type A's that want to raise their hands. But listen, we need to know who y'all are because we need to be better organized. And I know this because Natalie tells me all the time. Now, you all know something that we are maybe just now trying to figure out ourselves, that is, us free spirits, and that is that systems aren't evil. They serve purposes. And I know what all you free spirits are thinking, blah, 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 let's just go, let's do, let's fly by the seat of our pants. It'll be epic. But even I, a self-proclaimed free spirit, have a system. my phone, my wallet, my keys. Where are my keys? Systems aren't flawless. Basically, systems help us do something that we haven't been doing well. They help us do it better. But there are many people who have gone through Dave Ramsey's financial peace course and are still in debt. There are people who have been in recovery for years and are still addicted. So I've given you a couple examples of some systems that we deal with in our everyday life. I want us to look at a couple systems that God provides for us. And you've probably already seen them because I know a lot of you have been studying through Galatians. So we have the system of law. It has a purpose. Just like those systems, they show us when we're on track, when we're off track, and how to get back on track. The system of law shows us what a righteous path looks like. Shows us where we're off track. Shows us practical ways to stay on track. And also shows us the necessity of grace. It's important to know the purpose of any good system. It's also important to know what the system isn't meant to do or cannot do. It's not reliable for salvation. It cannot be used for justification. And it's actually a curse for those who rely upon it. And it is a system which enslaves those who go to it for any other reason than its purpose. So what we have here is a system that shows us things and also doesn't accomplish some things. So then what is it that this does? And now think of the law not only as just those Ten Commandments, but five books that Moses got from God and sat down and recorded. The Jewish people would call it the Torah. So what then was the law given for? Well, it's a great question. It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. It's important to know the purpose of any good system. But the law was designed to last until the coming of the child who was promised. That's Galatians 3:19. What about this system? A system of trust in Jesus. What is this able to do? What does this come with? What does this mean? It comes with promises. It promises a better guide for our journey. The Holy Spirit. A guide that God will give us. Promises blessings, trust credited to us as righteousness, and we're justified before God. And a system of trust in Jesus rescues us from a broken system, and it frees us from sin. What have you heard? I ask again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you by observing the law? Of course not. It is because you have trusted the message of Christ. So who has bewitched you? Seriously, though. Who has bewitched you and thinking that anything but the blood of Christ justifies you? Who has bewitched you in believing that following the rules of this building every week justifies you? Who has told you that you are unworthy of a new identity? Who has told you that observing the law of pew warming justifies you? Who has told you that observing the law of giving 10% every week justifies you? Who has told you that observing the law of, or the system of, checkmark religion justifies you? See, there is a different system that we need to understand and we need to know about. This was not plan B. Jesus was not plan B. See, Moses sat down and put those laws into place because God gave them to him, right? But who came before Moses? Abraham. And the gospel was preached to Abraham. And the promise was given to Abraham, the blessing, that he would have a son and that he would have a family that was more numerous than he could count or any of us could count. And how did that come about? Through trust? Through obedience? Yes. Abraham trusted in the promise, and he gave a life. We have to recognize our sin. We have to die to a system of law for justification. We also have to die to sin as a way of life. This system, God's perfect system, incorporates both. Jesus came to set the captive free. Because all of us have been held captive by sin. And none of us can be justified by the law. So then the choice is ours of what system to choose. Now, by this point, you're probably wondering why he's standing there. So if you would indulge me, I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. Do you believe that the key to your freedom is in your pocket?
Yes.
Why?
Because you told me that you put it there.
Okay, well, let's find out. Jesus is the key to your freedom. And a system of trust in Jesus will continue to guide you and lead you and fill you with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul goes on to talk about, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all these things. And so, God did not destroy the covenant that he had with his people, but he fulfilled it by bringing forth the new covenant that we have with Jesus. We accept that when we listen to the gospel. We accept that when we're joined with Christ in baptism. A system of freedom. That's the kind of system that we need to be a part of. This morning, the ministers and elders are going to be standing around the auditorium, and If you have a need, if you would like to be joined with Christ, then they want to help you fulfill that need. If you have prayers, they'd love to pray for you. And if you have some praises, I know they'd love to hear that as well. So this morning, whatever your need may be, would you stand and sing as we encourage one another?